Hell yeah, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, and I am here with world-class, you're a co-host at this point, Michael Brazemley.
Hi, everyone.
All right, and today we are going to talk about something that is ripped right from the headlines. We're going to talk about the abuse of power and how we as a union are struggling with this from our union leadership. And it's not just in my branch, although it is in my branch.
Well, we know the abuse of power is going on
that's really too,
but you know.
Right. That's where I want to start with, is because this stuff is systemic, you know, and it's a failure of leadership in that if you are a leader who is doing these things, you really need to take a look in the mirror and think about, you know, what it is you're doing to the people in your charge. But also for our leaders at the national level, for our business agents and for the people higher up, they really need to step up and police their branches. You know, like Mike Karaff talked about this recently. I think it was on Next Generation Carriers that he has an obligation, or that's something that he does as a business agent, is make sure that the branches are in line, because you get a bad apple, bad president, and that hurts your members. And we don't want that. And so we hear from the executive council in Washington, D.C. They had this WebEx meeting, and it was to talk about these charges that were brought by a carrier out of Branch 70 in San Diego against Brian Renfro. And I feel like the charges have some merit to them, you know, especially the stuff about it was a mediation, not an arbitration, and that he didn't abide by the resolutions that were passed at the National Convention, just essentially ignored those things. And these are not, you know, whether he would be found guilty or not, they're not baseless charges. And I know this has been gone over on other podcasts, but maybe you get it here, you know, whatever. I'm still going to talk about it. There is in the Constitution, Article 10 says that if the charges are against the president, then the executive vice president appoints the investigator, and that's how they, you know, and then they investigate the charges. Then it goes before the executive council to determine the merits. If the charges are against the president and the executive vice president, then the regular vice president appoints the investigator. They do the investigation, and then it goes in front of the executive council to judge the merits. So in this case, the charges were against Renfro and Barner. So that means James Henry appoints the investigator to investigate these charges. And then after the investigation, it goes before the executive council. Well, that's not what happened. What happened instead was Renfro called an emergency meeting by WebEx and got the executive council together and said, hey, you know, and I don't know what went on in the meeting. This is totally secondhand reporting. But hey, I think these charges are baseless, and y'all should vote to see whether, you know, we'll just dismiss these charges right now. And James Henry and others, Mike Karaff, stood up and said, that's not the way the Constitution works. And Renfro said, tough luck. Too bad. This is the way it's going to work right now. And they took their vote, and the executive council voted 14-11 to dismiss the charges or to declare them out of order.
Which is breaking the Constitution.
Which is breaking the Constitution. That's exactly right. James Henry had already appointed an investigator and did what the Constitution provides. And so this breaks the Constitution. It breaks due process. And that's not the way this is supposed to work. And that is plainly an abuse of power. Because what are you supposed... Okay. So it goes to the executive council. The executive council makes their decision. You can't unmake that decision. What's the next avenue? What body is above the executive council?
Well, I'm not going to say, so who's above that?
Okay.
The problem is that executive council, instead of telling Brian Renfro, saying, hey, man, you need to follow the Constitution.
Right.
And they go, oh, no, we're just going to kiss this. We're going to just vote.
Right. Some of them said that.
And so obviously they voted.
Yeah. And Renfro's away.
Right. By three votes, right? 14-11.
Yeah. So it was close.
Yeah.
It shows that there are cracks in that inner circle, and people are slowly, you know, coming around.
But here's the thing is that
they
still didn't follow the Constitution.
Right. And so this is where...
So the person who brought that charge, how does that make feel and other people who knows about these rules?
Well,
like us.
Yeah. So you know what the answer is when the person in power screws you over. They say, file an appeal. If you don't like it, file your appeal. And in this case, the appeal would be to the National Convention, because that's the only body higher than the Executive Council, is the National Convention. So let's say this carrier in Branch 70 is aggrieved. Reasonable to assume that he is. In fact, I heard him on 8 Arbitration, and he is aggrieved. The next step, file to the National Convention. Well, that's a year and a half from now.
Yeah.
You get no satisfaction between now and then.
It's in August of 2026.
Yeah. And so that's where Brian Renfro abuses his position. The Executive Council goes along with it, and everybody else just left hanging. Mm-hmm. Too bad. And Michael, how many times have we heard in our own branch, oh, if you don't like it, file an appeal?
All the time.
All the time. And there are other branches out there. I know from talking to people at other branches that they get told the same thing. And here's, go ahead.
And this is the major problem that I think I talked to you about, maybe some other people about, saying that this is where our rank and file members have a problem with the union. I have had talked to so many carriers on these issues. They all want to drop out of the union because of this.
Yeah, right. Because of this sort of corruption, essentially. Yeah, that's right.
So why are they paying union dues for these assholes to do the things that they do?
Right.
That's their answer.
With that in mind, if you want there to be a change, you have to be part of the union. Because if you get out of the union, you lose your voice completely.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it. At least now.
So we still need people to stay in to vote.
To make you still need reforms. To vote. Right. Because if you get out.
President election, yeah, right?
The only people who are left are the people who are happy with the status quo. Mm-hmm. And then we're totally screwed.
Right.
All right. So with this gambit of, oh, you can file an appeal. The reason that the people in power do that is because they know that the person they're talking to either won't or can't file that appeal. Because filing an appeal is not easy. There are timelines involved. There are requirements involved. There are specific things that you have to do. Like, you might have to send a certified letter that gets there in a specific time frame. It may have to be formatted a certain way. There are specific
with
steps.
With a certified letter, with a return receipt.
With the return receipt, yep.
They got all these rules. And if you break any of those, they're going to try to say, oh, that doesn't
work. Yeah, that your appeal is now out of order.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's exactly right. And so this process makes it difficult to appeal. And again, the powers that be, our branch president knows that when he says, oh, if you don't like it, file an appeal, 99% of the time.
The good old boys club.
Yeah, the good old boys.
Best way to say that.
Yeah, that's
not,
fine.
Not branch president. Because
no, well, ours specifically, but yeah, the good old boys.
It's
when
good
the good old boys,
club.
That's fair. That's fair.
Club.
When the good old boy, but you know, he says it particularly. And yes. So does the goodest oldest boy.
Not,
all right, that's
and that's
fair.
Not the branch president saying it. That's our branch.
I know the goodest
secretary.
Oldest boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So anyway, that's fine. The good old boys. When the good old boys say that, they know you're not going to do it. 99% of the time, the person on the ass end of it doesn't do it.
Except for us.
Except for us. We are the 1% that will actually follow. And it's got to be no end of frustrating for the good old boys at our branch that we have been following through, filing those appeals, and winning those appeals.
And some of those, yes.
Yeah, most of them we've been winning. Yeah, like the election appeal, we won 3 out of 4, including the big one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, but then that runs into another issue, is just like with this issue with Renfro and the Executive Council, say you do file that appeal, by the time it gets resolved, the issues are, it's a dead issue. It's already run its course. It's already too late. You can't unring that bell. And I'm going to give you an example. This argument that our agreement, our new contract, was settled in mediation rather than arbitration. Okay, Renfro pushes back adamantly against that narrative, and it was an arbitration. But what if that's not true? What if it really was a mediation? So what? What happens? Yeah, Renfro's, let's assume Renfro's lying, and it was a mediated agreement, which means the membership is supposed to vote on it. Okay, we're right. Renfro's lying. Now what? What do we, does that undo the contract? Do we give back our raises and go back to the drawing board? No, it's too late. That ship has sailed. And that's what makes it so nefarious to do things like that, because in many cases, there is no recourse or the recourse is meaningless. Dude, just like David Noble, you know, that guy, the dude's got a case. He's right about so much stuff. and rules were broken, and he's right. But what's it going
to
get him?
So this is what I wanted to talk to you about, is that I'm sure David Noble, he felt like that he's doing this by himself and
getting
a lot of support.
Right.
And so, and if he was getting some support, he was getting a small support from a small amount of people.
Yeah.
And so he was not getting that much support, and it makes it even more difficult to do the things that you want. Okay.
Right.
Which was happening with me at our branch, because I felt like I was the only one fighting for a long time. And don't get me wrong, I was not the only one fighting. Right. I've had a lot of people fighting, but they were too scared to fight or whatever it was. They were only putting it in my ear saying, hey, this is what's going on. This is
right. Supporting you quietly.
But they were supporting me quietly.
Right.
Until I met Alan.
Hey, all right.
So once I got to meet Alan and he's willing to fight the fight and everything, it is so much help. Just even get one person to be loud enough to fight the fight, it makes the world of a difference.
It really does.
Yes.
If you have that fighter in your branch, sit next to that person. Let that person, him or her, know that you support them. And it makes a huge difference.
It does.
Even just somebody to raise your hand and second emotion. Dude, and then, if you could speak, it means so much. Like, speak in favor of emotion or something. Dude, it means the world. Mm-hmm. So that's...
That somebody else is listening.
Yeah, right. That somebody else is listening, and somebody else. That it's not... You're not just a lone voice.
Yes.
Because if at least one other person feels the way you do, it gives cover for other people who may feel the way you do but aren't willing to say. And it makes it feel like you're not just this lone voice. So...
And here's the thing now is that... David Noble, I'm sure, is feeling a lot better now that there's actually a lot more support now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And Brian Renfro has created that.
Right.
Oh, wait. Didn't I talk about waking up the giant?
Yeah, the sleeping giant. That's right. And if there were a rerun of that election, dude, Noble might win because there's so much animosity toward Renfro. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, now... I think James Henry's going to get the vote.
Yeah, well, no, but the rerun would only be Noble versus Renfro.
Right.
Right? They would rerun that election. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, maybe it's time to donate to the David Noble Legal Fund. So,
but here's the thing. He's still going to pursue that if James Henry wins.
You know, he's a right fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of myself in David Noble.
Mm-hmm.
The dude knows the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's right, he ain't going to just walk away from it. And, you know, credit where credit's due. The guy's a fighter. No question.
And somebody else who's like that, too.
Yeah.
I just don't want to mention that right
now. That's fine. Yeah. So, to close out the issue of, you can file an appeal if you don't like it, there is something that you can do that's more immediate. And instead of... I guess all the appeals are under Article 11, but you can make an immediate appeal to any decision of a branch officer. You can appeal that to the branch president, and you do that immediately. And then you can appeal any decision of the branch president to the branch itself. And so depending on what the issue is, it's possible to appeal it immediately to the branch. You know, if you're at the meeting and the president does something that you don't agree with, you file an Article 11 appeal right there on the spot, and that becomes the next order of business. And that brings me to another way that the people in power abuse that authority. And this also was at the Committee of Presidents meeting, for example, where the person, according to Robert's rules, the person who is the chair, who is running the meeting, they're not really involved in the discussion at the meeting. They're supposed to be above it, and they just facilitate what's going on at the meeting. But you will see very frequently that branch or national leadership argue from the chair, and they interrupt people from the chair and do things that they are not supposed to do from the chair. And when the branch...
You mean kept each wanting to interrupt you when you're
trying
to talk?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, when our branch president was defending himself against the Article 10 charges, how many times was he interrupted during his speech?
Zero.
That is exactly right. He was interrupted zero times. Now, he did leave the chair, come down into the audience, and speak from there, and he was interrupted zero times. He said everything that he had to say.
Which he was admitting to guilt.
Yeah, he did admit to guilt. Yeah, and then the branch found him not guilty.
No.
They voted not to sustain the charges.
Not to sustain the charge.
yeah. It's comparable.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah,
I know. He's still guilty, just yeah. our branch decided not to punish him.
Not to deal with the charges, yeah. So, well, they could have found, sustained the charges and not, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's done.
Yeah.
When you and I mm-hmm. were defending ourselves against Article 10
at
charges.
At least a dozen people interrupted us.
Yeah, from the dais, from the chair, people
that
yeah,
was
interrupted
for favor
continually.
Of our president.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah, and even the president himself mm-hmm. interrupted when I was doing
president,
my Article 11 appeal.
Secretary. Yeah.
The chair interrupted.
And his allies.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if you take issue with it, the hell are you supposed to do? They can't unsay it. And this is where the chair has that power because the chair decides who's recognized. And the chair has the ultimate power mm-hmm. of the gavel.
So here's the thing, too, is that in reality, our Sergeant of Arms has that power, but he doesn't do that.
Right, not when generally. Yeah,
when it's our turn.
Right. Yeah, that's he's yeah. very selective about
but
how that's
enforced.
But if it's
the president's talking and somebody tries to say something, he's like, "Whoa, oh, yeah. you need to sit down and be
yeah,
quiet."
Yeah, exactly. Right, mm-hmm. and that again is that abuse of power.
Yes.
So with the gavel in particular, like here's an example: when and I know we've talked about it on Classes of Mail during the charges against the president, we wanted a. Secret ballot vote to determine.
No, that was me, not we.
It was Mike. Well, it's something we had talked about in advance,
I know.
Knowing in.
And then when I said it,
I know.
Didn't get your support.
You were the only one. I know. Well, I was wrong.
Because you were
yeah.
so
I was so
shocked.
Disheartened and shocked about the way it had gone the first time. Mm-hmm.
And you
so,
weren't thinking
so, yeah,
clearly
I wasn't,
at that point.
I was not.
Yeah.
yeah. Michael was right. We should have fought more.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't. But even if we had. So
what happened was that I asked for a...
Secret ballot
motion.
Yeah, right. Okay. To vote to sustain
and
the charges.
The way that works is that we still have to get the vote
right.
from the membership to vote, to see if we want to do a secret ballot or not.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And that is my motion that I was denied by our president.
Yeah. Yeah. Or okay. the executive vice president or whoever it was. The people on the dais.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They use the power of the gavel
yeah.
and they said,
no,
nope, that's out of order. We don't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Which means, so here's another point is that, well, we're not going to do that. It means what? We're going to stop doing Robert's Rule of Order?
Well, if I had it to go back and argue over again. But mm-hmm. here's the thing about the mm-hmm. appeal. So Michael was wrong. They did him dirty mm-hmm. with this, right? There's no question about yeah. it. We should have been able to do the secret ballot.
Mm-hmm.
But what's Michael's recourse? What's he going to do? Go file an appeal and say that they ruled incorrectly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even if he wins the appeal, so what? We're not going to go back and redo mm-hmm. that vote. By secret ballot, the vote still stands.
So, because I was the only one fighting and Alan is brooding on one side.
Yeah.
And I had Jonathan brooding on the other side. And I had Ladina and Nancy brooding, whatever they're doing. They're on their own thing. Everybody was doing their own thing. They're all shocked at what was happening because
right.
our president said that he was guilty. And people were like, you know, so shocked that they were just like not really listening
yeah.
to what I was saying. So at that point, I felt alone on that one. And I just couldn't fight it anymore because they're like, we're not going to allow you to do it. I couldn't
right.
do it. I couldn't do any more fighting. Nobody else yeah. was fighting
right.
with me.
Dude, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. So, you know, there.
Next time it's going to be different.
Yeah, the problem is when they abuse their power, most of the time it's successful. So look at our election as a whole in our branch where we did file those appeals. We won those appeals. But every step of the way, the branch officers drag their feet. And every time they drag their feet, things get pushed back another month.
Mm-hmm. So that's the same thing that's going to our re-election.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so right now, that is agreed that the re-election is going to happen. So we've been asking, like, hey, we're going to put this nomination thing in our postal record, and it has to be done by May 10th.
Right.
Is that going to happen or not? And they have not given us a word
they won't
when it's
answer.
Going in.
They won't say.
Because if it gets past May 10th,
they're in for another
now
month.
Now they delay it for another month.
Yeah. So let's imagine a scenario where they do that. They
mm-hmm.
drag their feet. They're on notice that, hey, this has got to be in by May 10th so it can go in the June postal records. We can get this going. Let's say they drag their feet and they don't do it. Michael and I get upset. We file a charge or we file for presidential ruling,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, hey, this needs to be done. So we get National to intervene again. And what's National going to do? They're going to say, hey, you need to put that in the postal record. So it goes in the next month. What does it accomplish? Fucking nothing.
Right, because they
yeah.
got another month.
Right. They successfully mm-hmm. got themselves another
month. Those people
month.
That messed with the election gets another month.
Yeah, they get another month in office. That's
mm-hmm.
right. And it's been that way all the way through. And the whole mm-hmm. time that they're in office, they're solidifying their positions. Mm-hmm. They're making connections. They get to talk to retirees mm-hmm. that we don't get to talk to.
Right.
And all of these things. And it's all this abuse of power. I mean, this appeal process has taken, it'll 6 months.
Now, there is more abuse of power that you haven't mentioned yet.
Okay.
Stewardship.
Oh, yeah. By all means, take okay. it.
So stewardship for where Alan works at, the steward for his station decided to bid to another station.
Yeah. Okay? Gatekeeping.
And
what,
the other steward decided to resign, saying that I don't want to be running this by myself. So she resigned, right?
She hasn't resigned yet, but she says she's going to step down. Okay. Yeah.
So then it'll be only Alan.
No, I'm not a steward. I'm not an alternate. Remember, I got fired. Yeah.
But you're the only one that will be running.
I'm the only one who's interested. Yeah, I'm the only one interested.
And what was the response when you asked to become a steward?
Well, from the president,
our vice president.
Yeah, from the president, there has been no response. Mm-hmm. The vice president wrote an email back to me mm-hmm. asking me all these questions about mm-hmm. qualifications, essentially.
Abuse of power. Of sure. saying that you got to have these qualifications.
Right.
Everybody knows there is no qualification, only right. heart. You have the heart to want to file grievances and try to protect the carriers. That's why you become a steward.
I want to push back a little bit
okay.
because she didn't say that these were the qualifications. Mm-hmm. It was the implication with mm-hmm. what was written, but it wasn't explicit that you need to meet these qualifications. And mm-hmm. in fact, she wrote back to me again because I answered her questions. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I don't even make the appointments. I don't know why you sent this to me, but it's because I sent it to all the full-time officers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing is, right, they're holding this gatekeeping, and I'm going to have a whole episode on gatekeeping at some point. I want mm-hmm. to get on John Murphy and Badmouth because they're both victims like we are mm-hmm. like so many people are of gatekeeping, where, you know, when, like, John Murphy has, I don't think I'm telling tales out of school to say that John Murphy has designs on running for president of his branch, and when he does, the existing branch president will be able to say, well, why should you be branch president? You don't have any experience. You haven't even been a steward. Yeah, because you won't make me a steward because you're gatekeeping. And that is, you know, they use it like it's an attack on the candidate, but it's really an indictment of the leader to say that they're holding down these people who want to try and want to help and want to do these things. And yeah, the only reason they won't have experience is because you're holding them back. And again, abusing that position. And for whose benefit? Does that benefit the carriers at that station not to have the steward they want, not to have a fighter for a steward? Of course not. It's selfish and it's bullshit.
And here's the thing. Alan's whole station wants him to be the steward.
Yeah.
Everybody except for one person.
Yeah, except for the president's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like just the one.
Yeah. And
I think she's outvoted.
Well, but so far, our president hasn't cared.
This is including the steward that's going to resign, right?
He was a fence sitter. No, oh, the one she was going to resign? Yes, she absolutely supports me.
And the other one is bidding to another station because he's running, because I think he's figured out that everybody don't like him.
I don't know. I like the guy.
That's
charming.
My guess. Maybe he doesn't like it in the fact that...
I'm not going to get into that. Don't worry about it.
There's a reason why he's going there. You know, maybe
I have no idea why he bid to the other station. Okay. And it's not what we're going to get into here.
No.
Okay. So one more thing that I want to talk about before we close this out is the meetings themselves. You know, the good old boys, the establishment people have an advantage when you go to the meeting. They have a couple of advantages, but the biggest one is that they know what the agenda is. They know what's going to be discussed, what's going to be voted on, what the plans are. And if you're an opposition leader, if you're a reformer, if you're in a reform caucus, something like that, you don't know what that agenda is going to be. You don't know what's going to be on. You know, like, for example, this last meeting where these bylaws were proposed, we had no way of knowing that there were going to be bylaws proposed at that meeting. The agenda is not published.
Well, we only know that because I was at the meeting.
Yeah, the only way we even know it happened, right, was that you were at the meeting. Right, the minutes of the meetings aren't published either. From after the meeting. That's not published either. You have to go to the meeting to get any of that information.
And
that
they don't give you the minutes to the following meeting.
Yeah. All that information is gatekept.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be branches out there, I hope there are, that they publish the agenda for their meeting in advance of the meeting so that you know oh, this is going to come up. I want to be there because I want to talk about that. I want to deal with that. Because, dude, at the last meeting when Michael's and my discipline came up from our Article 10 conviction, that came up during the secretary's officer report. We had no way to know that that was coming. It was a total blindside. And that's the advantage that the people in that position have. So I may propose a bylaw change that the agenda has to be published at least a day ahead. You know, I don't know, because I'm not in branch leadership. I don't know how practical it is to publish the agenda in advance.
Well, remember some of the proposal that we put in is to have an updated branch, right?
Yeah. And oh, like so, it could go on the website.
You can put that on our website.
Yeah, so that way you know what's coming. Or at a minimum, get it at the station bulletin boards. Mm-hmm. You know, as far in advance as practical. And that way you're not surprising people, right? Because right now they do surprise people and they use that to their advantage. And that is not an accident.
But why are they doing this?
Because they want to stay in their positions, because they want to hold other people down. They want to gatekeep. Yeah. Yep. Dude, it is disappointing. So look, all of this, it's all shitty. Mm-hmm. You know, it all
and it's
sucks.
Happening nationwide. That's it the is. Problem.
Dude, and from the top down, we've mm-hmm. given examples from our own branch and examples from Brian Renfro. You know, it's happening nationwide. Everywhere. Yeah, nationwide.
And our union need to change.
Right.
We need change because we can't have this good old boys club nationwide.
That is correct. So
because rank and file, people are getting upset. I hear about that all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get feedback. Right. It is not isolated, mm-hmm. not by any stretch. So what can... Look, this isn't just an episode where we bitch. Mm-hmm. There are solutions. The solutions are not easy. And that's part of the problem. And the people, the good old boys, they know the solutions are not easy. The solution is, like Michael and I have been doing, you got to actually file that appeal. And you got to see it through. Yeah, you got to do that fight. Because it does two things. One, you might win that appeal. And if you're right, you're probably going to win that appeal. And two, it puts the good old boys on notice that we're not just rolling over anymore. And, you know, that's the thing that keeps surprising me. Like, the letter, well, that's for a future episode. I'm not going to get into it now. But, like, they have to know they're on notice. You know, that we're watching what they're doing now and that we expect them to abide by the bylaws.
So this is what they said in the last meeting that you weren't at.
Okay.
And I asked a question because our treasurer was bringing up all the warrants and how to pay all the officers for their cell phone bill.
Okay.
And so I asked him, like, well, how come you guys never did this before on the cell phone bill? Because it was already automatically paid for it. He goes, well, we have to do this because that is the rules, because you guys keep filing these charges. We want to make sure that nothing will happen.
Dude, that's fantastic. Yeah, and so I'm really curious what's going to happen with the visit to the Committee on Presidents, because mm-hmm. the branch paid for our president and presumably the vice president to go to the Committee of Presidents meeting. And we have in our bylaws that if we pay for you to go to a special meeting or a training or whatever, that when you get back, you have a certain amount of time to give a seminar on that what you learned there, to all interested members. It was in the charges against the president. And the president acknowledged his guilt on that charge. Didn't pay the branch back. Mm-hmm. Oh, but if you don't do it, you got to pay back the branch for your expenses. And so, and his excuse was, like, one time 10 years ago, there was a seminar and only one person showed up. And so that's why we don't have, that's why we can just ignore our bylaws, apparently. So at this coming meeting, I'm going to ask about it. Hey, when's this seminar? I'd really like to go. And we'll see what he said. Hopefully it's already on the agenda that, hey, if you want to come to the seminar, it's going to be Wednesday, you know, or whatever. We'll see. I don't have a lot of faith. But dude, they have to know we're watching. They're definitely on notice that this is now expected, that you better abide by this bylaw. So we'll see. So anyway, as a carrier, actually file that appeal. If you want help with an appeal, I'll help you. Send me an email, classesofmail@gmail.com.
Alan's great at these things.
Yeah, I've
Being
done
that
pretty
he's a
well.
Former teacher.
Right. I have done pretty well with these appeals. Yeah.
He's very articulate these things.
And knowing the procedural rules.
Yes.
You know, like knowing how Article 10 works and what your timelines are and stuff like that.
And he puts it together with the what the rules are and what the violations are.
Right, there's all the citations and all that. Yeah, yeah. So if you need help with that, yeah, I am here to help. I will help you with that.
And that is another thing, too, is that our president doesn't want him to be a steward, which is a total mistake because he would do such a great job writing up contentions for
against management. And I did do a good job when I was doing it as an alternate.
That is such a waste of somebody's talent.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the carriers at my station recognize that. That's why they want me to be their steward. Yeah. But so
that's
far,
what's going on nationwide, though. Yeah.
So anyway, dude, again, I got to close this out with the solution. So yes, file that appeal. File, you know, your Article 11 immediate appeal at the meeting, or if you don't like what an officer did or something like that, do that. And if you have to, you appeal to the next level. You appeal to the branch, you appeal to the Committee on Appeals, and all of these things are achievable. And yes, I will help you with them if you need it. classesofmail@gmail.com. We have to start pushing back. And then propose bylaw changes. If there's something about your branch that you think is unjust, you're not the only one. I got a phone call today from another person in Branch 2502 who is upset about the outsized influence that retirees have in our branch. And
it's,
I know
it's not just the branch, it's national.
No, it's national, but right. And you know, he talked about potentially doing a bylaw change to limit the influence of the retirees. And so the bylaws,
by the time you propose it, well, the following month, all the retirees show up to vote now.
Yeah, it's, but also that would conflict with the Constitution. What you need is a constitutional amendment. But anyway, the point is, I know for a fact that dude is not the only person who is bothered by the outsized influence that retirees have in our union. And, you know, I've seen some branches where their bylaws say that, like, to be a paid delegate to a convention, like, you have to have 3 working carriers for every retiree who gets to be a paid delegate. But then you have branches like 33 in New York where they do the exact opposite, where, like, the retirees don't have to go to as many meetings in order to, and it's like, what the hell is this crazy town? So,
and well, doesn't the retiree have more time to actually make
meetings? Yes. Yeah. And so, like, a regular carrier has to go to like 8 out of 12, and a retiree has to go to like 4 out of 12. Yeah. Like, dude, it's madness.
Yeah.
That's, it's opposite of what it should be. Yeah. So, anyway.
It's killing the rank and file. That's the problem.
It is. And look, when you propose these bylaw changes, go for it. Because if you propose the bylaw change and it doesn't succeed, you haven't lost anything. Because it wasn't there before. Yeah. It's just going to stay the way it is. Yeah. But again, be surprised where you get that support. And for Christ's sake, give that support if you're a believer. Yeah.
And then let everybody know that this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Definitely.
Let everybody know. And make sure that it gets spread to all the stations so they can vote for it.
Yeah, buddy. Now we're talking. Now we're getting somewhere. Yeah. All right. So that is the abuse of power. It sucks. There's ways to fight it. Those ways suck too. But it's got to be done.
But there is some help out there.
There is help out there. Alan. Including me.
Yep. I know you can get hold of maybe even Corey Walton and James Henry. And you do have these people that's out there trying to help out.
Dude, so that's absolutely true. With my own appeals, I got advice from people high up in the CLC who were able to help me, you know, because they can see what's wrong. You know, and so many people have dealt with this issue and know what it's like to be on the ass end of the good old boys. Yeah. I mean, look at Kimitra.
You're not alone anymore.
No, that's exactly right. You're not alone anymore. You know, Kimitra Lewis is a great example of that, where she ran for president multiple times. I think she lost 3 times before she won, and she got blackballed.
Yes.
And now she's running for national vice president.
Yeah. And then her story is awesome because now all the grievances are done, taken care of. Everything is being settled. I mean, there's no back on grievances anymore. Yeah. Everything is done now.
Yeah. Imagine how much better that branch would be if the good old boys hadn't actively tried to hold her back. Yep. All right. That's all I got. Michael, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, great.
All right. And thank you all for listening. And I will catch you next time.